and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, certified financial planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to another edition of New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design with Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It is great to be here. Thank you. Exciting on Thursday, 3/18 of 21. So much to talk about, so little time. Oh, my gosh. And today could easily be a two-hour, but we have with us the one and only Heidi Thompson. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Our in-resident RICP.
Thanks, Ron.
RICP. And Shay Pataja will join us a bit later with her stats, a ton of stats here as well. So much information that intentionally leaving some of it for next week, specific to inflation, interest rates, and taxes. Which we intend to talk about
like
in more
Dallas,
detail. What's going on?
Houston, Austin.
Dallas, Texas, yeah.
Texas.
Austin, too.
Taxes, I see.
But we do have
you can see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, right. That sort of thing.
There is something new that just came out about taxes, isn't there, Tim?
Yes, there is. The IRS has said we're going to delay the official tax filing season until May 17.
17.
Right.
17.
May 17.
So you
May
get
17.
An extra month there. Mm-hmm.
So instead of a Sunday, or I don't know why they picked May 17th. Let's see. Let's see if we can. What is that date?
That is a Monday.
Yep.
Monday. That's so why. You can put it off until that weekend.
The weekend.
But a couple of things people should know about that. It doesn't mean state taxes are going to follow suit. Now, they usually do. But it hasn't been announced yet by the state of Michigan. And the other thing is, if you are expected to make estimated payments, those are not delayed until May. You still have to make those estimated payments.
Well, Governor Whitmer is in the Biden administration, isn't she? So it's just part of the she'll acquiesce.
You're waiting for her orders, maybe.
Yeah. See.
So that's what I thought. Good point, though, Heidi. As of now, state taxes have not changed. Still April 15th, of now.
But I would anticipate that they would. They usually do. But, you know, we just want to be clear that right now we've just had the announcement from the IRS at the federal level, nothing from the state.
They did it last year, and they put it off till July because of COVID.
Right.
Now, though, I hear the IRS is so behind in trying to mail out stimulus checks. They're still processing tax forms from 2019. So I think it's more for their good.
Right. Well, and also the which they is not a surprise, the AICPA, which the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants requested the delay as well.
Really?
So that may have made some difference to the IRS. The forms are just delayed because of the changes and all the rest.
And we'll let you know if we hear anything else about any other types of things that are delayed with that decision, but that's all we have right now.
Correct, and that may well mean, well, it would only seem to make sense then that you have until May 17th to make an IRA or Roth IRA contribution.
Don't know that.
But we have yet to get that information.
Hey, I have a quick question that may set you up for your segment. Some people will be getting their $1,400 so-called stimulus checks. Last time what happened, a lot of people just stuck them in the bank or invested them. This time they're still trying to limit and target. But a lot of people who never lost their jobs, continue to work, will be getting those checks. And it's all coming out of their children's pocket, basically. So if you wanted to address that, you could put the money into an account for a child's education, like your own or your grandkids or somebody else, what's the name of that account where you can open it up and put money in for a college education?
It's called the 529 or 529 account. Okay. You bet.
All right.
And you have full and complete control of it. There are some ins and outs to it, which you want to know the regulations, of course, before you invest in that and any cost. But it's got some nice benefits, some nice controls as well for those who are gifting, in essence, those monies to a child or grandchild. And it, if used for higher education purposes, grows on a tax-free basis as long as it's tuition, books, expenses, fees related to higher education.
And it doesn't have to be a college or university. It could be training school or any other kind of career training or instruction.
That's right. So. There's not a tax deduction.
Financial advisor about that?
Yep.
Yes, there's not a tax deduction for putting the money in, but again, if used for certain higher education expenses, grows tax-free.
All right. Okay. And also, before we get started,
the
phones are already ringing for people that want to talk to you guys.
Let's do it.
Dennis and Heidi from Prout Financial Design are in, and Al is on the line in Sutton's Bay. Good morning, Al.
Yeah, Dennis, I was wondering, on the delay of IRS,
does that
delay, can you still make a IRA contribution for last year?
Ah, good question.
Amazing.
By the way, good morning, Al.
Good morning.
You came in from trimming the trees, did you?
into my truck. I was outstanding in my field. But
yes, you were always outstanding in your field, of course, Al. So your question is, will you have that extension in terms of making an IRA contribution?
Yes.
That's what we're not sure of. I would guess, but I'm not sure. For sure, you still have until April 15th in order to make your contribution. But they may extend. I would guess that they will, but we don't know that yet, Al.
Okay.
All right.
But we'll let you know. We'll announce it on the show as soon as we hear about it.
I'm sure you'll hear it, but we'll announce it so you have something to depend on, okay, Al?
Yeah, I am right at that level of not being allowed to make a contribution, the $203,000 or something, because I did a rollover that put me on a higher income.
Okay.
And I still have to figure out the details of if I'm eligible or not.
Okay. Well, we can certainly help you with that. In terms of making a regular IRA contribution or a Roth IRA contribution, we can help you with those rules. Okay?
Okay.
Sure. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Al, for the call there in Sutton's Bay, Michigan.
What's interesting is the Roth contribution, if your income is too high, which is about $200,000, the Roth doesn't allow you to do that. But if you don't have access to a retirement plan outside of work, there is no income limitation on doing a regular deductible IRA. Who would have thought? Hmm. So that's helpful in terms of figuring that out. Could I really do a Roth IRA contribution? By the way, the phase-out limits for contributions for married filing jointly for 2020 were $186,000 and $206,000. Thanks, Heidi, for the tax
sheet.
And that's
sheet, for the Roth,
sheet.
Right?
That's for the Roth. But for the regular IRA, again, if there is no retirement plan that you have available to you, there is no income limit. You could theoretically earn $1 million, Ron, and still do we have that quote?
Oh, we always have. That's
a good... $1 million.
A little slow
thank
today.
You thank you. Well, it's still early spring, so the interesting thing about that, again, if you don't have a retirement plan, you can still do a deductible IRA for both you and your spouse.
Yes,
indeed.
Yes, I see. Mm-hmm.
So that could be nice. If you're over 50, that's $7,000 for you and $7,000 for the spouse. So obviously $14,000 last year, and theoretically $14,000 for this. Great way to invest $28,000 All right.
All right.
So. What are we talking about? 10 tips to teach your child to save money.
Hmm.
10 tips on how to do that. Saving money is a habit that can take time to build, as we all know. Now, this is not necessarily for children, but for grandkids as well. And given that we have 6, we have a lot to do here. Hmm. With another one on the way. First, now, 1, discuss wants versus needs. Needs are the basics, food, shelter, clothing. Everything else are wants. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You mean like the new iPhone isn't a need?
Right. That is a want, although some may argue differently.
Right.
As I can already see that one happening.
Mm-hmm.
2, let them earn their own money. That's so radical. Who ever heard of such a thing?
No.
2/3 of parents said that they paid their children an allowance in 2019, according to a survey by the, speaking of the AICPA,
uh-huh.
The AICPA, with children earning $30 per week on average,
wow,
based on 5 hours of chores. That's pretty good income,
that's pretty good deal, yeah, there.
Not,
yeah,
bad. Yeah. Is it all tax-free, Heidi?
Well, ooh, their tax bracket is probably pretty low at that rate.
Mommy, do I have to pay tax on that?
Depends on how much that allowance is.
Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Shut up over there, you.
I know one thing I used to do for my kids, because I always hate taking care of the cans, and taking them in,
so the
and rinsing
what?
Them out.
You mean the returnable cans.
Yeah. So the kids would, they could keep the money if they just rinsed them out, bagged them up, and went with me to the store and put them in the
machine.
Yep.
Cool. I remember a winter day. I was a young lad, probably 10, 11-ish. Bunch of snow. We had the snow day. Got the snow shovel, went up and down the block, and shoveled driveways. Came home, was all sweaty, emptied my pockets, and I probably had $30. And to me, that clicked on. It said, this is a pretty good deal here.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, if I go out
that
there
was a ton of money back then.
I get a bunch of money for working.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a good, have the kids earn some money.
It
whatever
is.
They do.
It's a great lesson. Growing up on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And near Mount Pleasant, Michigan, the first year that I was allowed to participate in some of the earnings on the farm, oh my gosh, talk about exciting. Stereo time for Dennis.
there you go.
Didn't exactly put it away in long-term savings.
That was, food, clothing, shelter, and stereos.
Yeah.
Stereos. Well,
underneath,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Hi-fi, stereos, Wi-Fi, whatever. If you want your children to become savers, allowing them to earn and save money provides them with the opportunity to learn how to use it. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
So maybe it's save, spend, and tithe as well. 10% given back to church or whatever. Always a good lesson. And putting off till tomorrow, at least for some of it, it's amazing what that patience can help them with as well. I'm sure, even though, I never did any of that. But, no, we did. We actually had our kids on some kind of a budget like that. It's been long enough ago. I don't remember all the details. Jill, if you would call in, please. I'd love to hear from you right now. But we certainly had those savings accounts in terms of mutual funds, too.
Wow.
So that was a great way for them to learn. The amounts that you can put into those are really relatively minimal, sometimes $50 to $100. So it doesn't have to be huge amounts. And when they receive those statements, they learn from that. And hopefully use that later as well in terms of retirement accounts.
Before we go to the next step for teaching kids to save money, can we go to Jim is in Acme?
Yes.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Jim.
Yes. This is a question about a Roth IRA. The stimulus money coming from the government, can that be put into a Roth IRA?
Yeah, as long as you qualify for the Roth IRA.
So you have to have earned income.
You have to have earned income for 2020, in essence, if it's a 2020 contribution. Now, what is earned income? It's income from earnings, a job,
yes,
or self-employment. Okay.
Work.
Would this not be considered earned income?
No, it would not.
The government.
No, the stimulus is not earned income.
Yeah, but you don't have to. you can use those dollars as long as you've been, you had some earnings for the year. It doesn't have, I mean, you can take the check, put it in your checking account and write a check for the contribution to the Roth. You can use those funds as long as you actually had some earned income during the year. So you can use those dollars.
Did you have earned income, Jim?
I do have some, but for instance, my wife, who does not have earned income, is getting this. I was wondering if that could be put into a Roth as well.
To the extent of, I'm sorry, to the extent of your earned income for 2020, you can make that contribution to the max, up to the max allowed in IRA or Roth, which is $6,000 if you're under 50, $7,000 age 50 or over. Okay.
And for a spouse is working, each spouse, like Dennis said earlier, each spouse can make a contribution to their own IRA based on that one person working.
Yeah.
And you can use that money for anything you want. You can put money into a Roth from anywhere. If your neighbor gives you money, if you find money, right? You can, doesn't matter where it comes from, you can put it into a Roth, right?
Yeah. Okay. Money in the backyard, in the tin can.
It's happened.
Whatever. As long as you had earned income, you can use that money from the tin can to make the contribution, as long as it's in a form of a check.
As long as you remember where you buried it, right?
There you are.
Yeah, right.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call there in Acme. Dennis Prout and Heidi Johnson from Heidi Thompson. Where did we get the John? I must know somebody named Heidi Johnson. Heidi Thompson's here.
Yes.
From Prout Financial Design. Bill's on the line in Traverse City. Hello, Bill.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there,
Bill.
Just a quick question on a Roth IRA. I'm helping my daughter do her tax return, and on her federal, she's got to pay in a significant amount for her to handle, and she did contribute last year to a Roth IRA, and I was wondering if she could convert that to a traditional one so she can deduct that, and if she does it now, would that apply to 2020 return?
No, you can't convert a Roth to a regular IRA. You can't reverse it. But let me ask you this. Did she maximize or max out her Roth contribution for last year?
No, she just did $3,000, I think.
Well, there's an opportunity. If she does have some savings to make an additional investment and she has and her income is low enough, is she a single filer?
Yes.
So let's take a look at what those limitations are. Tax preparation help from Dennis and Heidi here on Thursday mornings. She put it away. We're having to look in the catacombs here to find the details. But
also we have holding, too, is Dr. Sluice. John Sluice's calling might have some input on something.
Okay. That's great. We'll get to Where did that schedule go? Where is it? Well, we'll find it in a moment. As long as she's within the income limitations, she can make a deductible IRA contribution up to $6,000. Is she under age 50?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, under, let's see. Is she a single filer? Did you already answer that? I'm sorry.
She is a single.
Okay. So
single filer. Okay.
Does she have a retirement plan at work?
Yes.
She can have income, taxable income, up to $65,000 for 2020. All right? $65,000.
Okay. Is she under $65,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there you go. So she can make a fully deductible IRA contribution for 2020 up to an additional $3,000. All right?
Perfect. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bill, for the call there as we go to CPA John Sluice is on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you doing?
John Sluice, who let you out of the tax haven, huh? Good morning.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you even answered the phone knowing that I wasn't there, so that's a good thing. Well, hey, I heard the topic of the discussion today, and I was ecstatic and excited about, you know, having the kids and teaching the younger generation about saving. If you want a soapbox, I love this one, right?
Really? Awesome.
But what I thought I'd share, that a success that I've seen multiple of our clients have and seen it moreover, to teach kids to save, it is hard to do in today's interest rate regime right now. So the whole concept of why you want to save when you're making 0.001% interest is pretty
right.
tough.
Sure.
But to get the idea of saving it, for them to see that, to go open a savings account up, and then where that's a, such an intangible thing for a lot of kids. What I've seen successful is that the parents, you know, pick a dollar amount, but the parents would say, you know what, we'll double whatever you put into your savings account as long as you leave it there for a year.
Mm.
Knowing that
idea.
They're probably going to have $50 or $100. I mean, you're not talking mm-hmm. big dollars.
Sure.
It's more the concept, and it's more the idea to have them say, hey, if I save it, it's, so it's their choice. If they see something they want to pull it out and buy, they buy that Nintendo or the, mm-hmm. the pack of bubble gum or whatever it is, they can pull it out. But the idea that if they leave it there, it doubles. It's getting that idea that you got to wait and have the patience to get that earning. And I've had lots of success off of people coming back and say, yeah, they took me up on it. It was only $500 or it was $1,000 or $200. But the concept is, it's setting that concept into their minds.
That's fantastic. It's a great point. So you've got your own vesting schedule. It's got to be in there a year and then they're 100% vested. Is that what you're saying, John?
Yes. Yeah, basically.
There you are.
Yep, that's exactly right. And so,
very good.
And you can even throw the vesting words out there. But so, yeah. Okay, I didn't mean to call in or hope that helps. So.
All right. Well, thank you, John, for calling. Sure appreciate it.
All right, yeah. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure. You bet.
Thank you, John. John Sluice, CPA.
You bet. So we're talking about saving for children, and John just texted me and asked if it was okay because he gets so excited about that subject. And awesome, eh? That's great. Now, Heidi is going to be discussing the ABLE account for children with disabilities, and what a great subject that is to for those who want or can help children with special needs. Heidi, hit it.
Okay. Well, this is a type of account that is out there. It came into law back in 2014, in December of 2014. We haven't seen a lot of people open these up, and a lot of people aren't aware of these accounts. But these are accounts. It's ABLE stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. And it is a tax advantage savings account to which contributions can be made to meet the qualified disability expenses of the owner or a beneficiary. So this works where you put the money in. It's sort of like the 529 this way, where you put the money in and it can grow, and those earnings will not be taxed if, when you make the distributions, you use that money to pay for some expenses. And
qualified expenses related to that account as allowed by it, right?
That is correct. And to be able to be eligible for an ABLE account, you have to be eligible for supplemental security income, be entitled to Social Security disability insurance benefits, and have been certified as such. So those are the individuals that benefit from this kind of account. The old law, before this one went into effect, limited what a person who was eligible for all these different government programs could have. They could only have about $2,000 in savings. But the ABLE account, you can have up to $100,000 in these accounts. So it can really help people who have some disabilities to be able to save money and help pay for some of their care or some of their living expenses and not be penalized for trying to save or have people put money away for them.
It's amazing to me the investment options that they have available. They are, in many of these, they're actively managed grouped type accounts that are invested by these mutual fund companies. And you can go from relatively conservative to relatively aggressive, depending on the need and obviously the time frame and your ability to withstand risk. But that could, in essence, mean a better rate of return for that child over a period of time.
Correct.
So is there an age limitation for children or, you know, children of a parent to participate in this kind of a program?
Well, the individual has to have been disabled from a condition that began prior to age 26.
Okay.
So that is one of the rules on that. But some of the expenses that can be covered by the distributions include basic living expenses, health and wellness expenses, housing, financial management, transportation, education, employment training, assistive technology. So, you know,
what would not be allowed?
Well, probably a Porsche or
well, transportation.
Transportation, but I would think that went towards getting the person around or special things that they need. Mm-hmm. Professional services and legal fees. Those are all, so it's pretty expansive, actually, on what you can cover and what you can take those funds out to do. And
incredibly liberal.
And can anybody contribute to that?
That's a good question, Ron. And yes, anybody can contribute. So your parents can put money. You can be gifted money from people and put the money in that account and then allow that to grow and for you to be able to invest it, but still use that as a resource to help have a higher, better quality of living by being able to afford some of these things without losing your status. That's the key, without losing your status in those governmental programs that many depend upon.
That's huge. So they can save up to $100,000. Is that correct in these kinds of plans?
That's right. They can save up to $100,000 without being penalized. Now, if you do go over $100,000, you will not lose your Medicaid eligibility. So that's important to know as well. So it is an account that is out there, and it's a way for people. We talk about grandparents or parents being able to move wealth to the next generation. You could do that through that gifting to that person and allow them to maybe have some more flexibility in what they can afford because they can have this account and they're not going to be penalized with that. The old $2,000 limit seems really low.
Could be a great alternative to using a trust for a disabled or a child with special needs, and a much simpler manner and form to get the same thing done with a lot less complexity. So that's a great idea. The
yep.
ABLE account. If you do have a question about that, we'd be happy to send you information about it. There's several pages that we have available for those who might want to avail themselves of that. The phone number at our office, 231-947-3992. And Heidi, were there some other points as well?
I just wanted to make one more point.
Sure.
Is that each person, each individual can only have one ABLE account. So you know, they can't have multiple ABLE accounts. So you want to put all the contributions into or gifts into the one account.
Okay. To satisfy that limitation.
Yep.
All right. Do we have some time yet before we need to take a break, Ron? We're good. Okay. Number four, in terms of the 10. Hopefully we'll get to those. For saving, 10 tips for saving for children and or grandchildren. 4, provide a place to save, which John kind of alluded to in his phone call. Once your children have a savings goal in mind, they'll need a place to stash the cash. It may be a piggy bank, but if they're older, you may want to help them set up their own checking or savings account at the bank. And, again, if they decide to go longer term with it, what a great idea is that? Yeah. You can decide to increase it by doubling it if there's some money that's longer term. And in that case, you may want to figure out a way to put some of that money into a mutual fund, perhaps, especially if it's longer term, whether it's a 529 account, whether if they have earnings, think about this, mm-hmm. they could do their own Roth IRA account.
Hello.
So that snow shoveling gig you used to have.
See, so if you're 10 or 11, you could get a Roth?
Why your kid needs a Roth IRA account. Here's the other article. Some people might prefer me to say Child. Roth IRAs are for children are a great retirement tool in part because they're flexible. You can withdraw contributions at any time, but the child must have earned income. Well, a child is 15 years old. Could theoretically, they've had $1,000 of earnings for last year, could have a Roth IRA.
Do they
and
have
we
to
talked
file,
about the growth
file a
in
tax
that.
Form to prove they had that?
Do they have to file their tax? Well, it depends on if their income is high enough to have a requirement to file a tax. But they don't have to file a tax return if their income is low enough, and they could still make that contribution then to the IRA, given the extent of their earnings for 2020. That's amazing, because that grows tax-free.
And the Roth has so much power for younger people because of that long-term horizon they have, mm-hmm. where that money can sit there and grow over decades and then be a source of tax-exempt money.
That's right. Contributions to a Roth can be withdrawn tax and penalty-free at any time. So theoretically, they could also use it for college if they wanted to at some point. Or a house, you know, and not that that's essentially meant for that. But the long-term growth potential of that on a tax-free basis.
And that's just the contribution dollars, not the earnings on it. The earnings have to stay in the account.
You bet. Number five, let's cover this and then we'll take a break around, right, shall we?
Sure.
Number five, have them track their spending. Part of being a better saver means knowing where the money is going. If your children get an allowance, having them write down their purchases each day and add them up at the week can be an eye-opening experience. Still, what a great way for them to get to learn this, eh?
That'd be tough, though.
I think that's
good for adults, too.
That was a bit of a stretch. Yeah. Maybe if they can get it done 1 week or 2 weeks. Encourage them to think about how they're spending and how much faster they could reach their savings goals if they were to change their spending patterns. Now, Johnny, let's sit down and talk about this, shall we? Yeah, good luck.
Good luck.
So it may be part of the conversation that can make a real difference for their long-term savings, especially if they can just begin to get this. We get all that. But if they can begin to get into that habit, it's amazing the results over time that can be achieved and helping them understand this. All right?
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout is in along with Ms. Heidi Thompson.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on a gorgeous Thursday morning. We were just talking about the springtime. I didn't realize that Saturday is the official first day of spring.
Yes.
We'll take it. And I think the weather this weekend is supposed to match that, too.
I believe so.
Mid-50s for quite a few days. Yeah. All right. By the way, if you do have a question, we still have time for one or two of those. If you do happen to want to call, our phone number, again, if you would, Ron, is
947-0023. That's 231, 947-0023. And our text line is 70236.
Awesome. Let's do a Shay stat, shall we?
Shay Pataja, Chief Experience Officer from Prout Financial Design, is not here today, but has recorded Shay stats for this week.
Good morning. Are you ready for some Shay stats? These are really interesting. I know I say this every week, but this week it was hard to pick. All right, let's start here. President Trump declared the coronavirus pandemic a national emergency on Friday, March 13th of 2020. Over the 1 year since the announcement through last Friday, the S&P 500 has gained 48% total return in spite of a horrible 12% loss total return on Monday, March 16th of 2020. That's BTN research. In the 1 year since the declaration of a national emergency, the U.S. national debt has increased $4.46 trillion, and that's from the Treasury Department. Money market funds in the United States, including retail and institutional funds, both taxable and tax-free, have increased $615 billion over the last 12 months through last Friday, March 12th of 2021. That's an average increase of $12 billion a week. That's from Investment Companies Institute. In the last 100 years, Republicans have had a 52-48 edge over the Democrats in years in the White House. Inflation using the Consumer Price Index benchmark has been 1.9% per year during the Republicans' 52 years, while inflation has been 3.4% per year during the Democrats' 48 years, sources the DOL. The top 4 months for business applications in U.S. history have occurred since July 2020 during the pandemic, followed by January of 2021. And the source there is the Census Bureau. The American Institute of CPAs, so that's AICPA, sent a letter on March 4th of 2021 to the commissioner of the IRS requesting a two-month delay of the 2021 tax deadline. So from April 15th of 2021 to June 15th of 2021. The organization believes that filing obligations due a month from today are simply not possible for many taxpayers, and that's from the AICPA. Senator Elizabeth Warren proposed on March 1st of 2021 the Ultra Millionaire Tax Act that would impose an annual wealth tax on households with at least $50 million in net worth. The tax would begin in 2023, and it would impact an estimated 100,000 U.S. households. That's out of 126 million U.S. households. The bill's tax rate is 2% on estates between $50 million and $1 billion, rising to 3% on estates valued in excess of $1 billion. For Jeff Bezos, his worth is $181 billion as of the close of trading on Friday, March 12, 2021. The wealth tax would cost him $5.4 billion annually at his current net worth. And that's from Warren, Senate governor. To rank in the top 1% of U.S. taxpayers, it took $85,428 of adjusted gross income in 1981. To rank in the top 25% of U.S. taxpayers, it took $87,044 of AGI in 2018. So that gives you a little bit of perspective, and that's from the IRS. Well, I'm not one for sports, but I thought this was interesting because, well, you'll find out. Both Cecil Fielder, and I hope I said that right, who played 13 MLB years, and his son Prince Fielder, who played 12 MLB years, each hit 319 home runs in their respective Major League Baseball careers. I mean, how do you nail that? Pretty cool. All right, well, that's the Shea Stats for this week, and we'll see you next week.
Shea Pataja from Prout Financial Design. Fascinating baseball stat there, but as Dennis said, it's Cecil. Whoop, let me get the mics on there.
Well, you bet. Cecil Fielder. Exactly the same number of home runs, 319.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. By the way, a point to add to the Shea stat before we get to the phone call. Money market funds increasing to the way they were making made me think of the amount of pent-up spending. We're going to see a huge amount of spending increase this spring, according to the prognosticators, talking about what they believe will be happening, causing inflation to rise as well, but a lot of pent-up spending and thus demand then for goods and services this spring and well into summer. Lots of savings rolling around out there, which most likely will mean lots of spending increases.
I was going to ask
and
why
could
the
be
money,
good for the economy as well.
Why the money market fund was up so much. People are saving.
People are saving and or others have moved money to money market funds and because of their concerns over the stock market.
Okay.
As an example. We have a phone call.
Frank is in Harbor Springs today for Dennis and Heidi. Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
Morning.
Dennis, your opinion on, well, with capital gains, more than likely they're going to go up.
Yes.
I'm an older man now. I've got a lot of investment properties, and I'm getting, like, just insane offers for it, and I'm seriously thinking about selling all of it. I'm tired of paying the non-homestead property taxes on it. Mm. And I can't really see it going up much more than it is right now. They're all building lots, and I don't want to build on them anymore. The material costs are just through the roof.
Yeah.
Labor costs are through the roof. I mean, just a half-inch 4x8 sheet of OSB 2 weeks ago was at $27. This morning it's at $33.
Wow.
In 2 weeks. In two weeks. And a year ago, prior to the pandemic, when we had the issues with Canada, OSB would go anywhere from $9 to $16. But the last house that I built a year ago, I paid $965 a sheet. And now it's $33 a sheet.
That is
almost
amazing.
Four times, obviously. That's crazy.
And 2x4 by 104 and 5/8, those were $365 a piece. I just bought 10 of them this morning. They are $9.13 each.
Wow.
Out of town.
Isn't that radical? All of a sudden, the supplies, the equipment, if you will, that goes into the building, dramatic increase. Stuff that we didn't even think about before. So your point is, should I take the capital gains? Or your question, rather.
Yeah, like, should I sell everything this year, hoping like hell that it doesn't, you know, they don't go retroactive on an increase? I mean, because it's, what, 20% right now in capital gains versus going up potentially to 40%?
Well, it certainly could go up, but it's going to depend on your total income. Capital gains taxes are added into your regular income, so you really need to sit with a tax consultant on this. That is critical. So the top capital gains tax rate is 20% over $13,000 to no, that's a trust tax income. Sorry. So the top capital gains rate, married filing jointly, your income's got to be pretty high, $628,000. But you really do need to take a look at, what are my top capital gains going to be? How can I manage this? Should I sell some of it this year, some next? Depending, obviously, your liquidity on what, if you actually get buyers in there to buy from you. But, yeah, it's certainly something to think about this year. Most likely never be as low as they are this year in 2021.
Yeah, okay. And the good thing is I can control my income.
Yes.
You know,
okay.
I can make my income zero this year. I don't have to take any income if I don't want to.
Well, that could be really helpful as well. But seriously, sit down with your a good tax consultant on this to make certain that they can give you a pretty good idea of what you're looking at there. All right?
All right. Well, yeah, so if you want to know if there's inflation out there, heck yes, there's inflation. They're not even talking about
tons
it. It's
of
insane.
It.
No, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
Or that is radical. I had not heard those numbers yet. Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Take care now. Yeah, so the top capital gain tax rates for married filing jointly is actually $501,600. For those singly filing, $445,850. So pretty high to get into that top tax bracket there for capital gains. Yeah, I think we better broom trying to cover any more points. Most of them, the one that was the best was offer savings incentives, and we've already done that in covering that subject.
All right, Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson from Prout Financial Design on the web at proutfinancialdesign.com. You can call 947-3992. You guys have all kinds of safety protocols and are open for people who want to come in and sit down and talk.
You bet.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.